Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And a very warm welcome to our Remembrance Day service. That welcome is extended, of course, to everyone accessing the service via the website in a few days' time. And we also welcome any visitors or newcomers who are with us. Please make sure that you speak to us after the service. And in particular, why not join us for tea and coffee after the service, when you'll have a chance to chat to people. We are here, as always, in partnership with our friends in the Old Town Partnership of Churches and with Highworth United Reformed Church. The reading this morning is by Jenny Powley, and if you're one of us who likes to find the page and follow it, you might like to find in advance page 879. After the service, as I've said, there is tea and coffee, and everyone is welcome to that. Can I remind you that tomorrow, Monday the 16th, is the... Monday the 10th is funeral service for Anne Hopkins at 12:15. That unfortunately missed weekly news, so we thought we'd better emphasise it this morning in case anyone has forgotten. Those of you who have subscriptions to Reform magazine via Robert, it is now the time of the year to renew your subscription. Have a word with Robert, with or without money, and obviously if you wish to cease your subscription, let him know. But he would like to know as soon as possible if you would like to continue with your subscription. The cost is £30. However, if you would like to subscribe online, you can start that off at any time in the year, and that is only £18. So you may wish to think of that. Either way, whether it's paper or online, I think it's a particularly important time to be looking at Reform magazine. As we prepare for our vacancy once Robert retires next April, the way forward is partly going to be dictated by the outcome of the Church Life Review, which is a national review on which there has been a lot of detail in Reform, and there will be, I suspect, a lot more detail next month after some final conclusions have been reached, which will partly point the way ahead for us. You will hear more about that next Sunday at church meeting, when we will also be reviewing the church accounts for the first 9 months of the year and the budgets for next year, 2026. So please come to church meeting if you possibly can next Sunday. I will now light the Christ candle to give us a few moments' pause before we begin worship. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Just in case you've forgotten, I'm Robert Jordan, the minister of this church. I haven't been here for 3 weeks, but so it's good to be acquainted once again. But there we are. So yes, this is me. Our Remembrance Sunday service. We're remembering, and what's even more important is not forgetting. They don't always go hand in hand. The psalm for this morning says, "The Lord rules the world with righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." Words from Psalm number 9. And it's based on those words that we hold strong to our faith even when times are dark. All our hymns this morning are from Rejoice and Sing. And our first hymn this morning is hymn 705, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. I just want to say something. My mother wanted this for her wedding to my father, not to a wedding, to the wedding when she married my father in 1950. And my father put his foot down on this. He was not going to start the service for marriage with a hymn that said, "My help, O God, my help in ages past," wondering what my mother was trying to say to him. It didn't go too far, but I can never, ever, ever announce this hymn without thinking of a moment like that in a couple who had not yet married, but then eventually kept together for 55 years. So it's hymn 705, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come.
Saints have dwelt secure. Time like an ever-rolling stream, there's all thank you.
Please be seated. I will now light the peace candle, as we've been doing for a long time, every Sunday, as a reminder that even the weakest of lights has great power. We join together in a time of prayer, and we will end this prayer with the words of the Lord's Prayer said all together. Let us pray. We come to you because, as the psalm says, you rule the government with righteousness, the world with righteousness, and judge people with equity. You are a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Dear God, righteousness, equity, oppression, trouble, these are the words that are marking our times in a way that we would not wish to see, hear, or know about. And yet they are there. So as we remember, allow us to be reminded of what your will is. Through all the excuses and reasons and arguments that go on, as we light the candle, a small flame breaks through the darkness, challenges the lies, reminds us how something small can make a difference. We remember because you have given us that gift and the vision that your will is a world of trust, of understanding, of empathy, of respect. And this morning we want to give you thanks for a creation based on those foundations. We want to give you thanks for the lives of women and men who over the years have worked to keep those values going, who have passed them on from generation to generation, who have taught us what it means to be part of that will. We give you thanks for those who have the courage to challenge much of what goes on in the world, even at the risk of their own security. We give you thanks for the lives of those, for those people often very close to us that have never given up hope. Dear God, we are part of this creation. We are not alone. We are your children. You have created and continue to create. Your creation is not closed, not finished. There is so much to be done. We thank you that we can be part of that. That you have given us the capacity to think, to discern, to challenge, to be renewed and be part of renewal. We thank you, dear God, that there are possibilities. We live in a world that at its best is so beautiful and so diverse, where there is so much to share, where we can walk hand in hand with those around us. Thank you. Thank you for us being part of your will. And yet, we must recognize that we fail you. We make mistakes. Sometimes they aren't mistakes, sometimes they are intentional. We get carried away with our own self-importance. Too often, we feel that we are the center of the universe. We let certain values determine a way forward that is not your will. Forgive us for the pain that causes, for the fear. Forgive us for the destruction it brings when it breaks down the bridges of confidence and of trust and replaces them with walls of division and hatred. That is not your will. In Jesus, we learn what it is to serve, to love, to be loved, to never give up on hope. In Jesus, we discover that those you have called are so different one from another, and none of them were perfect. So thank you that we are part of your children, of past, present, and future. Through the Spirit of truth and of love, work in us, forgive us, reconcile us one to another. Help us to remember. Lead us on your path. And as Jesus taught us, when we call you Father, we ourselves create a connection with you and with each other that is unique. So with all the courage we can have, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 58, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Thank you.
the offering, don't we, before connecting to the cenotaph? Yes, we have time. We will now receive the offering, which is what we receive from God and set apart for his work in the world. God, the offering that is in the plate and the offering that comes in different forms at different times, our talents, our possessions, our whole life. May the guidance of the Spirit lead us to be faithful to you, and that the offering may be a sign of your will being done. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. As every year we do, in a few moments we will connect by the radio that Jeff has with him there to the cenotaph. We will be sharing that moment and the time of silence that follows. And as we prepare for that, the words that, never mind how much they are repeated, still inspire and still challenge. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. So until we make that connection that will be obvious, let us have a time of silence, of reflection, of remembrance, a time that will challenge us.
So the picture here is we await the royal party. To the south of the cenotaph, the musicians with their instruments shining in the sun face north. And we look at the drum majors standing at the front of the parade facing north, their straight dress gold lace and velvet riding cap. Scarlet cloaks, the senior drum major on parade today is Major Dan Fairley of the Coldstream Guards. We see the white plumes of the Grenadier Guards, the blue plumes of the Irish Guards, the white and green plumes of the Welsh Guards, and the red plumes of the Coldstream Guards. The parade is brought to attention as opposite me emerging onto the balconies are Her Majesty the Queen and the Princess of Wales, the Duchess of Edinburgh, the Duke of Kent, and the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester. Beneath them, the royal party emerging now, led by His Majesty the King, followed by the Prince of Wales, and Edward, the Duke of Edinburgh. Shortly, the King's Troop Royal Horse Artillery will fire a solitary World War I field gun from Horse Guards Parade to represent the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. It will coincide with Big Ben striking the hour, the same bell heard by those who returned from that war or who lost those who did not. The silence which follows evokes the end of hostilities. outpost sounded by the buglers of the Royal Marines, and we heard the boom of the 13-pounder field gun which saw service in World War I.
Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The choir will now sing the anthem for this morning, Give Us the Wings of Faith.
The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Micah. You can find it on page 879. Micah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Jerusalem is in ruins. The passage foretells that the city will be restored, and there will be no more war. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. Peoples shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. On that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted. The lame I will make the remnant, and those who were cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion, now and forever. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of daughter Zion, to you it shall come. The former dominion shall come, the sovereignty of daughter Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jenny, so much for leading us in the reading. O Lord, we hear the words so often repeated, and we ask that they may become true in our lives through your grace. Amen. Those who forget history are condemned to repeat it. Some say that was William Burke who said this originally, but it really doesn't matter. The reading we've just heard this morning is a very well-known reading and crucially important in the Bible, so much so that it appears in two different prophets. And the first half of what Jenny read is word by word what you will find in Isaiah chapter 2. Then in Micah, having gone beyond those words, he adds something to it. Why would that be the case? Remembering that not everybody knew how to write, that parchments were hard to come about. Why repeat something that's already there? I'll come back to that in a moment. For years now, when I go to Highworth about this time of the year, just about entering Highworth, there is a house with the garden onto the road to Highworth, and they always have a flag, and the flag changes according to the circumstances. This has been going on for 15 years at least, so I imagine it's older than that. And the other day, I saw the flag with the words, "Lest we forget." This is a phrase that is said so many times around this Remembrance Day. A call to remember what happened. But the challenge behind those words is that we don't forget so that they don't happen again. A reminder of all those people who died or were injured against hatred, discrimination, and violence. And sadly, no matter how many times these three words are repeated, it seems when you hear the news, read the newspapers, or look at the sight of the world today, we have forgotten. What we are hearing and seeing and reading are words and concepts that were defeated in 1945 and 1918, to say at least two dates. But there they are, ringing strong, still supposed to be a rally to a number of people. The hatred, the discrimination and violence continue to make a deathly presence in our world today. The same methods repeated time and time again, where thousands, literally thousands, die day after day. We are living a horror that we had never hoped would be repeated. And yet, how many times in the last 2-3 years you've said, "Not again, please"? How long have we been lighting that peace candle? As a small symbol of lest we forget. So let me return to the original question. Why is this reading twice in the prophets? Both Isaiah and Micah. We probably know the Isaiah version more. The answer is, lest we forget. Lest they forget. Because humans do forget, even when we decide we don't want to. And when we forget, we are condemned to repeat. It is the only explanation to what is going on in our country, in many countries in the world. Most of those who study the book of Micah agree that there are two different authors in this book, with some inclusions of an anonymous. One author of chapters 1, 2, 3, and parts of 5, 4 and 5, and another of chapters 6 and 7. The first author from Judah, the second from Israel, the kingdoms of the north and the south. They are active at the same time as Isaiah was. That's the 8th century before the Christian era. The first author very connected to Isaiah, the second author very connected to Hosea, the kingdom of the north. Micah makes it very clear in chapter 1, verse 1, when he says, "The word of the Lord which came to Micah, Amoreseth, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Ezekiah, kings of Judah, and which he saw regarding Samaria, the north, and Jerusalem, the south." He knows in verse 1 of chapter 1 that this is a book that encompasses the two kingdoms. And when we get to Jesus' ministry, how many times does he shock people by connecting with the Samaritans, the hated ones, the ones you had no contact with? The book here is a book for both. This reading presents us with a sharp vision of God's will. Many nations will come and say, "Let us go up to the mountain of God." God is the one that calls. And much to the surprise of many, even today, particularly today, it is a call not to one nation, but to many nations. And this calling is to establish peace and understanding. God will judge and settle disputes, and as a result of this, the unheard of, the unthinkable will happen. But we can't now say they are unheard of. We cannot hide behind the excuse of the unthinkable. They've been going around for 29 centuries. Swords beaten into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation. Changed sword there by missiles, by bombs, by whatever. They will train for war no more. Everyone, the emphasis is there, everyone will sit under their own vine and fig tree. No one will make them afraid. I'm not inventing this. This is not the word of some rabid fearmonger or a hippie. It's come back into fashion now. When certain leaders in the world don't like somebody, they start calling them hippies. If that's being a hippie, peace to you all. Yes, I never was allowed to have much long hair in my days. My parents weren't too for that aspect of hippies. Or again, the much maligned word, woke. So if you're hippie and woke, no hope for you. But that is where the hope lies. Woke. We have woken up to the reality, and that is what Micah is asking for. And if you have any doubt, there is a signature to all this. The Lord Almighty has spoken. Not anybody who is in power, however they got to it. The Lord Almighty has spoken. And to make it clearer, just in case there are any doubts around, and after all that, I don't know how they are, the Lord declares, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiled and those in grief. But aren't those the ones we don't want to have anywhere near us? Aren't those the ones we're sending back with no responsibility of why they're here? At least my parents had the foresight of giving me a birth certificate, British birth certificate, back in 1955. There can be no doubt. This is what God has clearly set out to the people. Not once, but twice. This is what we are called to live for and live by, lest we forget. And we forget at our own peril. This is what I want us to affirm on Remembrance Sunday. Not simply words that appear a week in the month of November, but words which mark our walk in life. I mean, what's the use of a phrase of three words that appears 1 week out of 52 weeks in the year if we're going to put it in the cupboard and bring it out next year, if we can find where we put it, lest we forget. We can't forget, because not much of this vision is what countries of the world are walking towards this day and age. It really seems that people have chosen to forget. Some people like us, and some people who are vested in financial gain from what goes on. Let's change the plowshares back into spears. Let's change the learn war no more into teaching the new methods. Many of the victims on war front during World War II, World War I, came from a vast amount of different countries. Australia, Brazil, Canada, Ethiopia, India, Papua New Guinea, South Africa, the Caribbean nations. The Windrush generation. With that very poignant sculpture there is in the Waterloo train station in London. You can't walk past that even in rush hour without saying, that has a lot to say. And something I found as one example, to me this was absolute news. Did you know that 1 million Muslims served the British Indian Army in World War II? And around 90,000 were killed in action. And in these current times, so many of these people are targeted, are hated, suffer racism, discrimination. Have we forgotten?
the intensity of the value of human life in the eyes of God. I couldn't find it this week, but I have a photograph of my father. I think it was taken in South Cerny, because that's where he was based when he came over from Argentina to do his Air Force training. God does have a particular sense of humor, let's be honest. I don't think he'd ever heard of Swindon when he was in South Cerny. I'd never heard of South Cerny when I was asked to come to Swindon. And yet, Helen sits there living just round the corner from there. I mean, if he'd been alive, he would have been highly amused. But it was the group that was working with him on that training. And not only have they all signed their name, but in brackets, they have put their nationality. Clearly, it was a group of people that weren't British-born. But they were there, training for the Royal Air Force. Okay, my father was asked to transfer to the tank regiment later on, because according to a story he told, so it's a selective search of words, they said, this is time of war, Jordan, not of playing air games, so we're transferring you to the tank regiment. They're much more difficult to play around with and much sturdier than any plane we give you. So he ended up in North Africa and south of Italy, and that's where I will end the family story. I didn't realize then the significance of that photograph. And it should not have any significance, but it does, sadly. I pray we remember. I pray we take the word of God seriously. I pray we may change our ways so that they come closer to the ways of God. I pray we never forget what God is calling us to. Let us remind each other and grow in faith, hope, and in love, lest we forget. May the generations walking with us remind us so that we don't forget. Thanks be to God. Amen. Following now, we'll have our next hymn. Immediately after the hymn, it's hymn 590, In Heavenly Love Abiding. Immediately after the hymn, we have a poem that will be read by Wally, and immediately after the poem, Mario will sing for us. Hold your impulse to clap, because we will go straight into the prayer of intercession. You can congratulate both of them afterwards, if that's what you feel. Now, hymn 590.
The Parable of the Old Man and the Young by Wilfred Owen. Wilfred Owen was killed in France on November the 4th, 1918. In this poem, Owen draws parallels between the biblical account of Abraham's near sacrifice of his son Isaac and the tragic consequences of war. The old man, representing the leaders and governments of Europe, is faced with the choice of sacrificing the young, symbolizing soldiers, for the sake of pride and conflict. Instead of heeding divine intervention, the old man proceeds with the sacrifice, leading to the loss of countless young lives, depicted in the chilling line, "And half the seed of Europe, one by one." So Abraham rose and clave the wood and went, and took the fire with him and a knife. And, as they sojourned both of them together, Isaac, the firstborn, spake and said, "My father, behold the preparations, fire and iron, but where the lamb for this burnt offering?" Then Abraham bound the youth with belts and straps, and builded parapets and trenches there, and stretched forth the knife to slay his son. When lo, an angel called him out of heaven, saying, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. Behold, a ram caught in a thicket by its horns, offer the ram of pride instead of him." But the old man would not so, but slew his son and half the seed of Europe, one by one.
Oh, our prayer of intercession.
When I say the words, "May God give peace," would you please respond, "God give peace"? May God give peace. God give peace. Let us pray. We pray for all who suffer as a result of conflict and ask that God may give us peace. For the service men and women who have died in the violence of war, each one remembered by and known to God, for those who love them in death as in life, offering the distress of our grief and the sadness of our loss. May God give peace. For civilian women, children and men, elderly and young, whose lives are disfigured by war or terror, calling to mind in penitence the anger and hatred of humanity, the human beings torn by war in Syria, in Yemen, in South Sudan, in Indonesia, in Gaza, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, and in so many areas of the world torn by conflict. May God give peace. God give peace. For peacemakers and peacekeepers who take the form of doctors and nurses and carers, distributors of food, lorry drivers, they seek to keep this world secure and free. May God give peace. For all those leaders in the world, political, economic, military, religious, who stir up hatred and push for war, and then they send the young ones to a battle to die, to be scarred, to be mutilated. For migrants, refugees, and all who have lost their place in life, may God give peace. For all who bear the burden and privilege of leadership, political, military, and religious, asking for gifts of wisdom and resolve in the search of reconciliation and peace everywhere, may God give peace. We pray for those known to us, families, friends, nearby and far away, who are struggling. For health, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, those seeking recovery, those not knowing yet how things will go. They each have a name. Each of them are close to other people who sometimes are tired, sometimes worried, and keep going. For those in the partnership that we know of, and those far away, Lord, in this silence that follows, we put their names before you. Lord, may your Spirit sustain, guide, heal, and restore. May God give peace. For the destruction of the earth, the air, the waters, as a result of war, economic greed, conflicts, which cause contamination, barrenness of the land, pollution, and lead to hunger, to sickness, to malnutrition. For the sessions of COP 30 in Belém, in Brazil. May God give peace. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world and grant us the grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honor the past, may we put our faith in your future. For you are the source of life and hope.
and love, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn that leads to the blessing, and after the blessing we will sing the national anthem. Now hymn 620, For the Healing of the Nations. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with you, with those you love, with those you find difficult to love, and with the people of God everywhere, this day and forevermore. Go in that peace.